It is 3:31 here on Downtown. Rich Kimble, Ryan waiting with you. And tomorrow, the NBA draft takes place. Boston Celtics still holding that number 3 overall pick. What will they do? What should they do? Well, we could speculate, but instead, we turn to the source, the longtime voice of the Boston Celtics, Mike Gorman, who joins us this afternoon. Micah, welcome back to the show.
Oh, my pleasure, guys. Still speculating on this end, though.
Absolutely. Well, we all are. What do you think? Are you surprised that Trader Denny hasn't done anything yet?
No, I'm not really surprised because I don't think there are a lot of general managers around the league right now who are in a hurry to do business with Danny because they're afraid of getting fleeced and looking bad with, you know, 1 or 2 years down the line. You know, there's a kind of a tendency in the NBA right now for general managers to not make outrageous or what seem like outrageous or high intensity picks. Because if they don't work out, it falls back on him. It's much easier for a general manager to make the pitch that everybody thinks they should make, not make any radical trades. And then if the team doesn't do well, you just fire the coach, hire a new coach, and you move on, and your job is safe. So I think that, unfortunately, prevails around the league, that kind of philosophy. So you don't see a lot of general managers who want to pull the string on anything that isn't a lopsided trade in their favor. And Danny's not going to make one of those.
What's the biggest need for this team, Mike?
Shooting, I would say. An effective three-point shooter. They could use some athleticism. They could use some toughness. But I think all in all, if you just got Brad Stevens or Danny Ainge alone in the room and just said, what's the one thing your shoot team needs, I think they need somebody who can put the ball in the basket with more consistency than the guys that they have right now.
Mike, as a guy that's enjoyed watching Avery Bradley develop, his name popping up in trade rumors makes me wonder, do you think, as somebody that's seen him on a day-to-day basis, that he's reached his ceiling as a player, or is there more to Avery?
No, I think there's more to Avery, especially offensively. I think he gets better offensively. Defensively, he was chosen to the All-First defensive team this year. So, yeah, I get a little upset when I see Avery's name mentioned in these trades. But, you know, 99% of these trades you see proposed on the internet that are floating around are just people speculating. There's no real fire there. There might be some smoke, but there's no real fire. So we'll just have to wait until tomorrow night. I think Danny would like to make a trade with the pick, but he's only going to make a trade for somebody like a Jimmy Butler. It's going to have to be a guy who could really mean 5 or 6 or 7 wins to this team next year, and to get a Jimmy. Going to have to part with an Avery Bradley or Jay Crowder, and I'm in no real hurry to do that, really, when it comes in terms of conjunction with the third pick, because I think with the third pick, they can get a good player.
There's been talk about getting a rim protector, too. Do you think if they went that route, they'd be better served to get somebody like a Nerlens Noel than an Okafor?
Oh, without question. I'm very anti-Okafor. I just don't think, I don't know the kid, so it's nothing personal. I just don't think he plays the type of game that the Celtics want to play. I could see a scenario where the Celtics drafted Chris Dunn with the number 3 pick tomorrow night and then traded him to Philly for Nerlens Noel. That's one of the more substantial rumors I've heard.
Mike, as the Celtics look to attract free agents in the post-draft scenario or the post-draft season, how important is the culture that they've produced with Brad Stevens and Danny Ainge being constants?
I think it's very important, and I think that announcement there a week ago where they had extended the contract of Danny for 3 years and extended the contract of Brad for 3 years was a message to free agency in general that, hey, if you come here to this team, despite the great tradition it has, despite the fact that it obviously is on the rise right now with a really good young coach, that young coach and the general manager who's putting this together are here for the duration. There's a commitment from the ownership. I've been fortunate enough to be around this team professionally for the last 35 years, and no one compares with the ownership that they have right now. They're willing to spend money. They hire people who they think are competent, and then they let those people do their job. And so that's the message I think that they're trying to send out to the Kevin Durants and some of the other free agents of the world. And, you know, I don't think that Kevin Durant is that long a shot. I mean, I don't think he's got more of a 10 or 15% chance of coming to Boston, but we've all seen 10 or 15% chances work out in the past. So I don't think Kevin Durant is out of the picture at all.
It's interesting your comments on the ownership, because I wanted to ask you from your time covering the team, is upper management in perhaps the most stable situation you've seen in your time there?
Oh, without question. No question. And you know, Danny's very good. He's very open with the owners. It's not like they don't see each other and talk to each other. Steve Pagliuca is very involved, played basketball himself at Duke. Rick Grosbeck is extremely involved on a day-to-day basis. But when I say they're involved on a day-to-day basis, it means they just kept up to date. It's not like they're coming in and saying, no, you got to do this, you got to do that. They leave the basketball decisions to Danny and Austin Ainge and the rest of Mike Barron and the rest of his staff in Boston. They feel they've done a pretty good job with it so far. Danny was able to engineer a world championship not that long ago, and I wouldn't be surprised to see him engineer another one in the next 3 to 4 years.
We're talking with Mike Gorman, the voice of the Boston Celtics. And, Mike, what were your thoughts on the way the NBA Finals ended up?
Well, you know, I picked Cleveland to win in six, so I was off by one. I say this in Boston, and people want to throw bricks at me. But LeBron is the best player I've ever seen. I think LeBron's better than Michael. I think LeBron is better than Magic. I think he's better than Larry. I think he's better than anybody you can name over the past 50 years of the NBA. And to go out and play in a finals where his team was a decided underdog, and then to emerge from the playoffs, scoring 41-41, having a triple-double in the last two games after being down 3-1, and to be the playoff leader in points, rebounds, assists, blocks, and steals tells you all you need to know about LeBron James. I mean, they don't get any better than him, and there hasn't been anyone in my mind that has been better. Given the fact that you have the best player, you should win. And as wonderful a player as Curry is, you know, I've said to on a couple of shows I've been on of late, if I were going to start a franchise tomorrow, I'd take Curry. If I had a game I had to win tomorrow, I'd take LeBron. And that's pretty much how the series played out.
Absolutely. Mike, we were reminiscing last week about the 86 team. We had Rick Carlisle and Bill Walton on the show. What do you remember most about that team? And for your money, are they the best NBA team of all time?
I would like their chances against this Golden State team that everybody wants to put up. I think the Celtics would have given them real problems inside with Bird Parish and McHale. I think Dennis Johnson would have, over a period of 5, 6, 7 games, would have given Stephen Curry all that he needed in terms of defense. I would like the Celtics' chances. Were they the best player of all time? I mean, there are some other teams that have floated around that for 1 year have been very good, but certainly after the performance of winning a world championship last year and then having the best regular season record in history this year, Golden State had put themselves into that discussion. But I would still give an edge to the 86 Celtics. And for what it's worth, Danny and Kevin and Chief, they all think they'd win. I'm sure you're stunned at that.
Before we let you go, I wanted to ask you, so nothing yet, of course, 24 hours or more, a lot could happen in the NBA. Deals happen quickly. But if nothing happens and the Celtics go ahead and take that pick, do you think it will be a quiet summer, or will Danny keep the wheels turning and keep things in motion leading right up to the start of camp?
No, I think he'll keep the wheels turning, and I think they have some free agents that they feel they like. They might not be, you know, the search when you're looking for a good free agent these days is to try to find the guy who you feel has a lot of ability taken advantage of, and therefore is probably not a major contributor to that system. And I think the Celtics have about 2 or 3 of those guys earmarked that they think in the right place can be appreciably better players. So, I think the Celtics will work hard to trade this number 3 pick. If they can get in discussions for Jimmy Butler or for the guys in Milwaukee, I'm hearing a couple of guys in Milwaukee now, I hear, are being talked about as potential trade candidates. But I don't think the Celtics want to get too old. I don't think they want to really bring in a 7, 8, or 9-year veteran. Because Brad Stevens has shown that he can be and is a wonderful coach and is very, very good with younger players. Players who kind of appreciate where they are still early enough in their career where they're willing to be coached and accept coaching. So again, I think it'll take a major deal. It'll take a Jimmy Butler or the like to pull the Celtics out of that number three draft pick. I do think the rumors that are floating around of late, and the last 24 hours, perhaps the Celtics taking Chris Dunn at three and then trading him to Philadelphia for Nerlens Noel. That's a move that works well for both sides and probably has the most credibility of any trade rumor that I've heard.
Mike Gorman, the voice of the Boston Celtics. Mike, as always, it's great to talk with you. Thanks for making time for us this afternoon, and have a great summer. We'll catch up with you when the season gets rolling.
Okay, sounds great. Good to talk to you, folks.